Imagine closing 200 mortgages a year while working from a van and traveling all over the country. Well, today's guest, Sarah Keller, has done just that for the last 3 years, and this conversation was freaking awesome. So a couple things that we cover. One, what was the conversation like with her referral partners before she decided to go on the road? Because they're going to be like, what do we think of this? The tech stack that she uses to make this possible, and how she's got a marketing plan that actually she generates, and her whole business is referral-based, and it's based around a small area that she's rarely in, and it does not matter. It's been an awesome conversation. Her business is based in a Portland area. She's a part of Guild Mortgage, and I'm your host, Scott Peckford. This is the I Love Mortgage Brokering podcast, the number one podcast for mortgage brokers and loan officers to learn about some amazing people and how to grow your business. I was so inspired from this conversation that I actually created a Sarah Keller cheat sheet, and I break that down at the end of this episode. I'll tell you how you can get it if you want to do some kind of remote work, and I break down what she did and as well as the tech stack she uses. Before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy to use. It's got cool features like smart docs. As the person's filling out the app, it knows what documents you need. It's connected to Lender Spotlight, the best tool for searching rates and guidelines. And it's got AI baked in. And it's got smart submission notes all around. It's a fantastic tool. Check them out at lenddesk.com/Finmo and check out this conversation with Sarah. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So, hey, I've got many questions for you, some from our pre-conversation and what I've heard about you. But before we jump into that, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am a loan officer with Guild Mortgage. I've been in the mortgage industry for 23 years, but I've been originating for 10 years. I live in a four-wheel drive Sprinter camper van 80, 90% of my life right now. I've been doing this for a couple of years and do mortgages from here and travel in the country with my golden retriever and living my best life.
That's so awesome. And so how many miles have you put? Have you kept track of any of these things? Like how many miles you put on since you get on the road?
I'm at 40,000 miles on the van right now.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of my third year. So that's 2 years in the van.
And how often will you move from place to place?
Okay. So the goal this year in so many different areas of my life is to slow down. So I am trying to stay in one place right now for 4 or 5 days at a time. Previously, I will have a tendency to move. I like to be an overachiever. And so I have this tendency to move a lot also. And then wonder why I'm so worn out originating loans and driving across the country. This last fall, I found myself in North Carolina. And everyone was like, how'd you get there? And I'm like, I just kept going. Just keep going.
So you don't have a plan where
so you're this year,
stop,
consciously. Or,
like, I think you mentioned you did.
No.
You kind of had a plan of where you were. But now that you're probably more comfortable on the road, yeah, you probably are like, I can figure this out as I, wherever I just kind of feel like stopping.
Absolutely. I started very planned and would know where I was going to be all the time. And now I don't plan at all other than where I need to be sometimes for a work conference or a retreat. Like this coming weekend, I'm going to be at a retreat. But other than that, I don't plan anymore. And I've gotten a lot more comfortable. In the beginning, I did campgrounds across the board. And now I tend to mostly spend my time on public lands, on BLM land or boondocking.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then how are you able to run your business? Like what technology are you using to be able to be basically anywhere and still run your mortgage business?
Right. Starlink changed my life. I don't know how everyone feels about Elon Musk that's listening to this. I do think he's like the creepy evil genius where I have to use his technology.
Right.
So with my Starlink satellite, I have it roof mounted. So it's roof mounted and plumbed into my van. And I can work where there's no cell phone service at all, which I tend to do quite a bit. I use that connection to be on Zoom with my clients, to be on Teams with my work team, to make my phone calls entirely. So I am typically somewhere with no cell phone service at all.
And so how good is it? You've been all over the US. How good is Starlink? Just out of curiosity, this is not a commercial for Starlink and the evil genius that is Elon Musk, but like how good is it in these, is it work pretty well or is it like spotty or I'm curious?
In the Southwest, it's absolutely incredible. So you have to have open skies, not like it can be cloudy, but you have to have open sky space. Like my satellite's got to be able to attach. So it can't be like in a mountain or a valley,
like somewhere where there's like you can't get.
No, I can be in valleys. The problem can be tree cover.
Oh, I see.
So I can't have obstructions in front of me. So I do really well, even in valleys. Or this last weekend, I was in a canyon in New Mexico, and my connection was absolutely perfect. And I'm down in a rock canyon. So as long as it has clear sky access, the problem comes when I have in the Northwest, when I have tree coverage or spots that are more wooded can be hard for me, or I'll have to move during the day to work and then move back to where I'm staying.
Right. Okay. So what made you, and then you're doing about 120, 125 files a year working from your van. So I have questions.
Well, last year was a bad year. So that was a bad year. That was a bad year. 200 plus.
Right. So so if you've been on the road for how long?
This is the beginning of the third year.
And you had been a mortgage broker or loan officer for 10 years. And so like, how are you? I know there's a lot of people that are thinking that if I leave town for a month, like my business is going to dry up. How do you leave town? And where was your home base? I guess, where did you start? And then
Portland, Oregon is home base. It's still home base.
Okay.
I had a client maybe 6 months ago ask me, wait a sec, you're giving me mortgage advice and you live in a van? And I was like, yes, but I own several houses, which is why I live in the van. It's okay. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So as far as is living out here, I keep the home base, and it's worked. In the beginning, I had some concerns about telling all of my agent partners.
Yeah, I could see that. That was one of the questions
I was living in a van. Yeah. And I had some worries about that. And there still will be phone calls where people say, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to bother you on vacation. And I say, I'm not on vacation. This is my life. This is how I live. And I think I haven't lost a single relationship. And actually, the support has been absolutely incredible. The amount of people, I didn't set out to be some inspiration. The amount of people that use that word or comment or say they wish they could be living the way they wanted to live is, without making myself teary, is absolutely, I didn't even expect it. I didn't expect, this was so much about me. I didn't expect to be impacting other people's lives.
Right. Well, I could see that because, well, you know, there's a great book called The Five Regrets of the Dying. And I don't know if you've heard of it. So it's a hospice nurse who wrote about, she had worked in a hospice and wrote basically the five most common regrets that she saw. And one of them was, I wish I had the courage to live the life that I wanted instead of what other people thought of me. And that, I think that was number one, actually, even beyond everything. Like some people was like, I wish it didn't work so much. But it's basically being authentic. And so you're doing that. So that's what's inspiring. Whether somebody wants
it's to, it's really hard.
They may not ever want to do that, but they're like, I want to.
It's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy. There's a lot of it where I make it look easy, but it's not always easy. You didn't see the part where I'm sobbing hysterically in a Walmart parking lot in Arkansas on a Sunday, wondering why I can't be normal.
Right.
But then the rest of this is incredible.
Right. That's totally fair. Okay. So when you decided to move to the van life, then did you initially tell all your clients and referral sources, or did you kind of keep that like, hey, I'm just going to go on the road for a little bit, and then it just turned into a long thing? Or because I know that anybody, even people thinking of just going to work from another state, or maybe they want to go to Mexico for a little while or something. So they're going to have these like fears. And so walk me through what happened when you were going through that.
When I very first started, I started out about a month at a time, and I would work. And I was picking and choosing who I told that I was in the van. And I was worried, I'll be honest, I was worried about people judging me. And I was certainly worried about my agent partners not wanting to do business with me. Or as an example, I had a new agent partner who does a lot of business in the Portland area. And she multiple times had asked me to meet with a client, and I had explained to her, and she said, would keep saying, well, when you're back, I'd like you to meet with the client. And I said, well, I'm not able to, but my daughter works for me, but my loan partner, my daughter can meet with the client. And I finally had a conversation with this person where I was really clear about my lifestyle. And I told her it was okay if she didn't want to work with me, that I totally understood if she needed somebody that was in person all of the time. And I honestly thought she was going to say she didn't want to work with me. And the opposite of that has happened. That is a really good friendship and a really good business relationship.
So where does your business come from now? So you're doing between, in a normal year, 200 files. Where is that coming from? Is it from your original kind of source in Portland, or is it spread out since you've been moving around more?
Still all Portland, Oregon and Washington entirely. And most of my business is agent referral business, the majority of it. And then my own database referring.
Okay. So what is, I'm interested in, and are these, how do you find, is it just all the existing agents you've had before, or how do you get new agents given that you can't do the traditional shake hands and stuff? So how are you able, are you just running on your
own? So my dirty secret is that I didn't meet people in person beforehand either. That's okay. The dirty, dirty secret that I, you're not supposed to, this isn't how you're supposed to do business, but I've always been really great at connecting on the phone. Most of my business was built slowly over time by earning business from a lot of listing agents. I communicate at a really high level when we're under contract and get to know those people.
So can you give me an example of some of the things? So I've heard other people do this, but obviously, so if you look at how many realtors would you say refer you in a year, do you keep track of that?
I do. And I think I'm a little different. I know that some loan officers have one person that's referring them 10, 20, 30 plus deals. And I think my top referring agent, we're probably doing six deals a year. Yeah. So I have a really wide net.
You're diversified like a mutual fund, essentially. So then it's not like you have all but everything in one.
I hope so. Yeah.
But hey, we still love real estate. Forget about, okay. You have, walk me through what you've done to attract new realtors since you've been on the road. Because I'm just curious about what are some of the steps in your loan process that's
in my process. Yeah. I'm really systematic in my business. I'm a big about systems. And so from as far as earning business during a transaction, I make a phone call or a video when offers go out. As soon as an offer isn't accepted, I make a video to both agents and it's from the van. I don't put a fake background on. I tell people, hey, welcome to my camper van where I live and work 80% of the time. And then I go through how I will be communicating with them during the process. And I think the amazing thing is I then end up talking to a listing agent when I make my first status update call. And they're like, wow, that video was really cool.
Well, here's the thing, it stands out. I don't think, I'm sure you're aware of this, but if you're listening to this, it actually makes it stand out because of the fact that other people do the listing videos, but you're completely authentic and honest about it, which sometimes people would fake the background and think that they've got to pretend. You're just straight up with it. And it's better to be straight up than pretend, because then you would set the wrong expectation right from the beginning.
Which is hard sometimes, Scott. You would think, I'm making a, let's get into some of the honest, I haven't taken a shower in 3 days. I showered yesterday. Yeah.
It's fine. This is on video, so it's totally fine.
But sometimes I'm making a video and I haven't showered in a couple of days. And I'm certainly not dressed nice because I'm out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm making a video for an agent on a listing that's $1.5 million. And I am thinking, oh man, they are going to think I am unprofessional. And how would this person ever want to interact with me when I know this particular agent might be running in circles of quite fancy people where I'm from? And again, the response is incredible. It surprised me.
Right.
I was worried about it. I got to a point where I didn't care anymore, where the life I was living in Portland, I was burnt out. I wasn't happy. It was showing. And so doing this, changing my life and living this way, I think had to happen for me to keep going in our industry.
Right, right. So
but I certainly worried about what people would think about me.
Right, but it's obviously worked. And so I'm going to ask you about technology after. I'll make sure that I come to that. But I want to ask about you. Just back to this listing thing. So you send the video from the van. It's on the initial offer to both people. What is your frequency and what stages do you do status updates for the listing agent throughout the process as well?
I used to do status updates on Tuesdays to both agents and borrowers. I do status updates on Mondays to agents because they tend to call me anyways and want to know what's happening. So I switched to Mondays. And as far as my process goes, those status phone calls happen every single Monday, no matter what, come hell or high water. That phone call goes out every single Monday. I can be on my deathbed. I'm making those phone calls. And then we do Thursday email updates, my team does, and communicate out at every major milestone. It's so simple. I always try to tell people, it's not rocket science.
But you do
it's
it not consistently. Rocket science. You do it consistently.
Hands down. Right. There's no excuse ever.
Right. And so Thursday email from your team, and then you do a Monday. And is that a phone call to the agent?
It is. Because that's where I connect.
Right. And then
it's not a text message. It's not an email. It's a phone call because that's where I get to know people.
Right. And how many of those would you be doing? So you're doing a couple hundred files. It could be quite a few phone calls on a Monday, right?
So right now, or at least, January, February. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It doesn't take me that long. I'm done in an hour if I don't get interrupted too much. But come the middle of the summer, it's a lot of my Monday sometimes. A huge part of my Monday. And sometimes I'm still doing it at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I have a team now, but when I started out, those calls, if it was happening in the evening, it was happening in the evening. It happened every single week without fail.
Right.
No excuses.
And so tell me about your team structure. So what do you have for support that allows you to do to be able to do this part?
Right. I've got my loan partner, which is my daughter. She originates also. A little shout out to her because she's doing really well.
Awesome.
She's bringing more deals in and I don't plan to work forever. So that's my succession plan. I also have another originating assistant. And then I have an assistant that's licensed behind the scenes that does all of our lead follow-up, all of our document gathering, all my expenses, all my event planning. And then I have a loan processor that I share with another loan officer.
Okay. And then, so the loan partner, so if a lead comes in, who's the first point of who contacts them first?
Typically me, although I'm better, I've been relinquishing some control. We use Calendly. And so depending on how the lead comes in, if it comes in over text or email, we send out a Calendly link. And that actually goes to the three of us, my daughter, my loan partner, who's my loan partner, my originating assistant and myself. So it just round robins, whoever schedules open. So the three of us all take lead calls. We've had it normally set so preference lands with me. And then if my schedule is full, it overflows.
Okay, so use one link and depending on, that's a really good idea. And then
in Calendly, you can actually preference it, to equally go to all of us or to put my calendar first. They can't tell.
The link and it shows up based on how your calendars are feeding into this one page. And then I've seen that before.
Yeah.
And then, so what does your originating assistant do compared to the loan partner?
They both do pre-approvals, but she does the majority of the pre-approvals. So she puts pre-approvals together, sends them out. We use a template. And then in that template, there's a link again to Calendly to do a Zoom pre-approval review call. I'm the only one that does the pre-approval review calls, and I do all of those over Zoom. So that's where I'm meeting my clients face-to-face is over the computer from the van.
Right. Okay. Yeah. See, I would call that like a strategy session, but same idea. You're basically, now you've got enough information to give them a plan and say, here's what we're going to do. And this is what you can buy. And
we've already sent the plan. Yeah. And then I'm reviewing the plan with them, going over fees, step by step, sharing my screen. The coolest thing about COVID, which is one of the reasons I ended up in the van before COVID, I never would have thought this was possible. But also during COVID, we started using Zoom. I had never used Zoom to meet with a client on a regular basis prior to COVID. And then I'm like, wait a second, somebody doesn't have to drive 45 minutes across town to meet me. I can share my screen. They can see everything. And so that's what I do in those meetings.
Okay. And then one, I'm going to circle back because I have ADD. So I'm going to, the status updates, you said Monday phone calls, you initial offer, Monday phone calls, Thursday emails, automated status updates. So they drag from wherever different stages. How many of those touch points are there from like, you know, submission to whatever? How many of those go out?
Of the major milestone, yeah, major communications. Submitted to underwriting, approval, appraisal, and documents to title. We're doing so much contact. We try not to go too crazy.
Do those milestone updates go to everybody as well, or just the, like, do they go to the listing agent and the
agents?
Both agents and
we do them to both agents.
Right. Okay. Correct. So
and on Mondays when I make status calls, that's to both agents.
Right. It's so simple. I mean, like, I love it. Like,
that's what kind of kills me. People are like, "How are you doing this?"
Make it, like, no, sir,
I
make it more
call people on Monday.
You just call them, and they're like, and so when you call a listing agent, so if I'm a listing agent and I'm, you know, I've got this notification saying a file's been submitted or whatever, it's in underwriting, and what does that conversation look like? What are you saying to me? Because I'm like, I don't really know you. I saw your video, so like, what does that conversation typically look like?
Hey, Scott, Sarah Keller, Guild Mortgage, giving you a Monday status update on XYZ property. Just wanted to let you know we're already submitted to underwriting. We've got a gorgeous looking loan approval. We don't need anything else from the borrower. We've got our closing disclosure prepped and the appraisals due in on this date. As soon as we've got it, we'll resubmit to underwriting for our clear to close, issuing our closing disclosure. Closing not until April 10th. We're way the heck ahead of schedule.
Oh, and then it's like, tell me about the van. And then it turns into a whole probably conversation.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, thank you. That's amazing. And I've always, and I tell my team this same thing. And it's not just our partners. It's anyone. It's our underwriters. It's our closers. If you're on the phone with somebody, even if you're busy, if they want to talk to you, you talk to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's days where I'm really busy. But if I can tell in the conversation that they want to talk, I'm making the time to talk to them. That's where the connection
is. And
happens.
So you don't try to rush those calls and like, you're not trying to get like,
I mean, there's times where I feel panicked, right? I'm like, crap. How am I doing all this? But, and I feel the same way about other people in the process. If it's an escrow officer, if it's an underwriter, if somebody wants to talk with you and have a conversation about something other than the loan file, you better engage them.
Right. And so do you book any scheduled calls on Mondays because you've got all these other calls to make, or do you leave certain days of the week less, like, more open?
Right now, where volume's down, I leave it more open. So there is some space for clients to book with me. When we get really busy, I expand that block in my calendar so that I've got enough time.
Right. So you're managing that like ad hoc, depending on mm-hmm. what your volume mm-hmm. stuff looks like. And mm-hmm. Do you have any other themed days that you do so that you like that you have that you find that are helpful for communication or just how you run your business?
Well, I mean, I used to have lots of theme days on my calendar, and then I realized I wasn't actually doing them. Mm-hmm. And so I took them off my calendar because that didn't seem helpful. For us, it's Monday status updates to agents, Tuesday status updates to borrowers.
Yeah.
And then every single Tuesday, my daughter and I do a social media video. And then that same video also goes out to all of our agent partners that do business with us. We call it Tuesday Tell All. We'll pick a different topic, a different loan program, a recent rescue story. So that goes on to social and then also out to all our agents with a breakdown and a market update. And then on Fridays, we do a weekend warrior email to all of our agents that we work with. And that always has who's working for the weekend.
Right.
My team, myself, my daughter, and my originating assistant, Flea, we rotate weekends, which has been fabulous because before I did.
You did all of it.
Single weekend.
And how often are people?
I did all of it.
This is like, say, an agent or a real estate agent's got something going on. They will message them and they have a question. And so then somebody's basically on call for that weekend.
Right. And we use, I mean, we can go deep into systems if you want to. We use a cloud. I took a cell phone number that I'd had forever that was my main point of contact. I ported it to a cloud baseline. I keep a separate phone number for my own personal private life. And every single one of us can log into that phone and answer text messages and phone calls. So whoever's working the weekend is logged into the phone. So it's always the same phone number. We use a team email address. It's always the same email address. My personal email, if it's my off weekend, they monitor that as well so that we're never missing anything.
Right. What software do you use for the cloud phone?
GoToConnect.
GoToConnect. Okay. And marketing, you said your assistant, lead follow-up person, document gathering, event planning. What kind of event, like what other marketing things are you doing? You said events. So you plan events that you do for when you cycle back through town, do you do something?
I do.
Like, hey, everybody, I'm back. And then off
again. I do. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This last Christmas, I got home. I'd been on the road for 3 or 4 months and I got home and 2 days later, I had a Christmas open house. I think 40 or 50 people showed up. That was a little bit over the top. Next year, I'll give myself a little more space. that was a little overwhelming. So we have a couple of things we do. I do a pumpkin patch event every single year. We invite all past clients and all agent partners, and we've used the same pumpkin patch for many years. We put a table out front. The pumpkin patches, they know we're coming every year. They're great with us. People come say hi to us. They get their pass to go do everything on the farm and pick out like up to an 8-pound pumpkin. Everything over that they pay for. So that's our biggest event every year.
How many people will come out to
we'll
that?
We'll do,
you think?
200 to 300.
So, and that's clients, referral partners, and then you'll, it gives you.
This year was a little hard because it's not cheap and it's 200 to 300 people.
Right.
But I've had many good years. And people start asking us about it in September every year.
Right.
So I think we're on our 7th year of doing that. It's the easiest thing for me and people look forward to it. So we do that each year. We'll do a taco cart in my backyard when I'm home for the summer. We do that each summer. We end up with about 50 people hanging out in my backyard, clients and agents, and have a taco cart come and margaritas. We do flower baskets to all of our agent partners for Mother's Day, which I need to get on right now.
Yep.
And then we do like a Christmas open house at my house. So those are our major
events. So any other marketing things? So you've got the listing agent. You basically use your process as your prospecting because you're on top of that. Is there anything else that you do for marketing to continue to grow, even though you're on the road a lot?
How long do you want to talk? Yes, I'm a little systems.
No,
geek.
I love it. Like, no, that, tell me more. Like, keep going.
Okay, so I use Salesforce for a database, and then I use Outreach, and I've built lots of sequences and stolen lots of Outreach. If people don't know, Outreach is a way to, I don't know how to summarize it, make it really easy to do your follow-up. You set people on sequences and your Outreach communicates with my Salesforce so I can see
so
the
this
person
is after you closing it so they closed a mortgage and then you've got
we have a gazillion different sequences. So we have a credit repair, a waiting to buy. As soon as a lead comes in, they get dropped into a sequence and they get dripped with emails, text messages, and phone calls until they'll schedule a lead call with us. Once they've scheduled a lead call, we put them in another sequence. Once they're pre-approved, they're in a sequence.
And how many?
We have just gifting. I'm not gonna, we
there's,
do.
There's, you're, right, okay, there's a there's how levels many? To this. Like, holy smokes, that's just totally fine. Here's the thing: I see you sitting here in like a pair of like overalls in a van, and I'm like, you are way more high tech than I would if I were to like, you know. On appearances, obviously you've got running a great business, but like it's not
the Carhartt like overall school deal.
I'm just being honest. You look like a farmer and you're literally like extremely high tech, which is, you know, which is super cool.
Well, actually my assistant behind the scenes, Haida, is incredibly high tech. It is harder for me to learn. She is really, really good at it.
Right.
And that is why she's an incredible asset. She is, puts those together. She looks at what other loan officers are doing.
Right.
And she's looking at what other loan officers are doing. Really, so much of it is the base of what I always did from the beginning when I was just me. But we've been able to add so much and make it easier for ourselves with technology and be able to manage it as it's grown.
Points and increase the, improve the experience without it being more of Sarah's time, basically, right?
Correct. And still saddle that using technology with being very real. Hi, I'm a real person. I'm not a computer.
Right.
People matter to us. And so finding a way to use technology and still be incredibly authentic in what I'm doing.
Right. Okay. So you use Starlink, Zoom, you got this GoTo Connect phone, Calendly, Salesforce. What other technology things
you Outreach.
Is that like an actual, like a plugin or something that is like a,
it is.
That connects to Salesforce that does these drip campaigns?
Yep. Correct.
Okay.
That you build out yourself or you steal from other loan officers, which is actually more my method.
Right. Anything else that you find is necessary to run completely from the van? A dog, golden retriever?
Yeah, where is he?
Right there.
Oh gosh. He's in full blown lounge mode.
Yeah,
right,
he's
now.
Just chilling.
The golden retriever is essential. He's in most of my business photos and marketing, so he's helpful in all things I do. What else do we do? I use BombBomb a lot. That would be my other, that would be the one tech piece we didn't cover. I use BombBomb all the time, constantly.
What do you, like, give me an example of when you would use it.
I had a client get under contract last night. First thing this morning, I made a video going, saying a huge congratulations, welcoming them to the camper van, going over the next steps in the process and telling them what would happen today and throughout the process, which then buys me time to make a phone call to them later today and not have them calling me
right.
at 9 a.m. with what's going to happen next. So immediately I've made that video and BombBomb sent it to them. Huge congratulations. CC'd their agent that it says, congrats on your accepted offer. Please watch this video! Exclamation point. It also, in case they're not watching it, in the email template goes over every single thing that's in the video.
Right.
Including the fact that I'll be calling them later today when I have time.
Right. Okay. So then you're not like having to have somebody field a bunch of incoming calls because you got ahead of it, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's really my goal. I wouldn't be able to do this with you calmly today if I wasn't ahead of those things already this morning.
Right. How do you manage time zone differences given that Portland's on the West Coast and Pacific time? And then when you're in North Carolina, that's what, 3 hours at least?
Okay. That wasn't easy.
Yeah.
That quickly. So I quickly realized that being on the East Coast during the winter and working Pacific Coast time was not going to work out because it turns out it's really hard for me to stay awake until 10 o'clock when there's nothing to do after 5 p.m. because it's dark out. So that was hard.
Right.
If I'm going to be on the East Coast, I need to be doing it during daylight savings time. Otherwise, it's just too difficult for me. I really prefer right now, I'm an hour. So I work Pacific Coast hours work. I mean, yeah. I work when everyone wants something, but I like being an hour ahead because I have some quiet time in the morning to have to myself.
Right.
And I don't have to work too far into the evening.
Okay. So this is on more like on the personal side. Do you ever get like lonely because you're on the road?
Oh,
like with you and your dog, or are you like,
yeah.
are you like an
yeah.
extreme like introvert and you're like, you just read a book and you're good at like, so tell me about that.
It's both. Whenever I'm around a lot of people, I need to go spend some time alone. I'm incredibly introverted in my personal life. And so I do require a lot of downtime if I've been socializing. The dog does not, by the way. Like, I spend a week without people, and he sees a person off in the distance,
he's
and
like,
he, like,
I
swings
want to
off.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, help me!
Be
help
my
me!
Friend.
I've been alone with my mom for 5 days. he is way more social than I am. So there is the part where I'm introverted, but the lonely part is I have a friend that also, I mean, I have tons of friends that I've made that live like this as well, but a friend of mine that works as well, because there's a ton of people that are retired and it makes, I travel with a couple of people that work sometimes and that's really nice.
Yeah.
But he had made the comment when I was meeting up with him in Moab, he said, I'm so glad you're coming. I have a really bad case of the road lonelies right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, the term road lonelies is very real. the lonely part. I can get lonely at home though. Also,
I was going to say people can live in the same place and still be lonely.
Well, and I said to another loan officer, that I know really well last year, or maybe the year before, I came through Palm Desert and I just had a couple of really bad days and I was in tears and I told her that being in cities makes me lonelier.
Hey, thanks again for listening. And hopefully you felt as inspired as I was from my conversation with Sarah. I know that I was like, man, there's so many assumptions that I have that I think, well, you can't do it that way until you do. And so if you're interested in getting a cheat sheet that I created, it's a one pager. It's got a breakdown of what she did and the tech stack she's using. There's two ways you can do it. One, if you follow me on social, just send me a DM and I'll send you a link to how to get it. Or two, if you're on your podcast player, if you click on the episode, you'll see some links in there. And one of them will say Sarah Keller cheat sheet. Click on that. You can grab that, download it, check it out. I'd love to hear what you try with this because this has inspired me to think what else is possible that I didn't think was possible. And Sarah, that's a very inspiring conversation. Thanks for coming to chat with me and share your story. As always, there's no problem in your mortgage business that somebody else hasn't already solved. Your challenge, just like Sarah's before she figured this out, is who's got the answer. And I love having these conversations. Thanks again for listening. And if this was inspiring, share this with someone or reach out to Sarah and say, hey, thanks for sharing.